The truth of any matter can be a continuous search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Spoken Verity Podcast. My name is Arthur Medina, and I will be leading this week as we bring you episode 32. With me, our co-host for this episode, Brother Wiley Harris III and Brother Remy Echo. Welcome, brothers.
Welcome.
What's up, bro? How y'all doing?
Blessed and highly favored. And without a doubt, what a blessing it is to share this time with our TSV family and you guys. Let's open episode 32 in prayer as we approach the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning, this day, and the different opportunities you give us, Lord, to be a light for you, Lord. And may this podcast, Lord, be just that for you, to further your kingdom, to give you glory, Lord, to edify your people, and to be an encouragement to all those who receive you and look to you, Father, as our provider, as our hope, and all that we want and desire, Father. And we just thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Prior to going into the episode of what we're talking about, God's remedy for our well-being, we want to give Brother Wiley an opportunity to recap episode 31.
Thank you, brother. TSV's 31st episode was a discussion centered on pride, specifically it being a destructive force in the lives of those that have yielded to the pride spirit in thought, word, and deed. Pride's abominable origins were a part of the conversation as well as discussing Adam and Eve's hubris in the Garden of Eden. We recognize that this topic of pride isn't comfortable for most, but continued conversation is needed for those that knowingly and unknowingly interact and walk with that spirit. The pride conversation we started in episode 31 will continue in future episodes. Remember, faithful listeners, to subscribe to TSV, if you haven't already, on your chosen podcast platform, and check us out on our website, thespokenverity.fm. We thank you for your continued support.
Amen. Thank you. And as always, if you have not heard any of our previous episodes, please, we've got 31 great different episodes to choose from that cover a variety of topics and issues, no different than what we're going to do today. And in fact, this may be an expounding of a previous episode that we did covering some healing. And in this particular segment, we want to cover, now, what does God say about healing? And just kind of go in depth a little bit more based upon the fear that a lot of brothers and sisters have right now in the current times. You know, all you hear is COVID this, COVID that, the variant of COVID. And you hear about vaccinated or not vaccinated. And the conversations just seem to be prevalent around sickness and death and negativity, as opposed to us stepping out by faith and being who we are in Christ. So hopefully this episode will give you some revelation, you know, because that's what matters most. It's not about information, it's about revelation. As we move forward, hopefully God will speak to your heart by something that either Wiley says, Remy, and especially hopefully something I share with you, of course. So you never know. God used a donkey. So And anyways, my first question is this. What does the Word of God say about healing? And I'm going to start with Brother Wiley because, you know, he looks the oldest. So, Brother Wiley, what does the Word of God say about healing? Praise the Lord. Let's do this.
Well, I appreciate that, so that opening, the introduction. Ultimately, what I'm getting from Holy Spirit and that I've transparently shared with my brothers is something that I know is near and dear to my heart, and I recognize what's happening and the things that I see. And you know, we all see things in the spirit realm depending upon our relationship and our maturity in the faith. And so hopefully as I unpack this and lay this out, it's received by all that hear it. If it is not, then prayerfully, we all have the wisdom and the humility to go to Holy Spirit to be able to discern what we need to and then apply it into our lives and to the lives of those that we're connected to. So my answer to this first question will be a little lengthy because I want it to serve as the premise for the rest of my answers for this episode. I want our global audience to be cognizant of this as they listen to this show in the coming days, weeks, months, and years ahead. So I implore all who are listening to listen intently to what I am saying, because I believe Holy Spirit is reiterating understanding concerning healing for those who hear this episode. We must remember that our personal experiences don't change the Word of God. If He promised it in His Word, then it is incumbent upon us to receive it. TSV audience, don't ever blame God for what you have not received in your own life. This lack of receiving or unbelief can creep in subtly. Constant defeats in life can amplify your unbelief in the promises of God. Through attempting to satiate our pain, we use phrases that indirectly blame God for our lot in life. God knows everything that we will go through, our ups and our downs. Psalms 139:16 tells us that. We are the ones that are living this life out daily, prayerfully in faith, as we do not know what the day will bring. But we must expect what He has promised in His Word when we apply our faith to it. He is faithful who promised. Personal responsibility plays a big part in you receiving what is already yours by the stripes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God bears that out. As we discuss this question, we must also remember that the whole essence of our triune being is what is at issue here. Our spirits, our souls, and our bodies must be the focus of this question's answer. Considering that, my response will focus on the three parts of our being. You will not believe what the Word of God says if your spirit isn't healed through salvation, or your soul. Being unhealed in those areas will manifest at some point in your body, again, sometimes subtly. Even if you are healed in your spirit through salvation, and your soul through renewal, your body can still suffer infirmity. I will expand on these verities later in my answer for this segment and the rest of this episode. Please don't deceive yourself. Be honest where you are in relation to this truth. Holy Spirit knows your heart more than you do. That said, your words and actions also display your heart. If it is bodily healing you need, receive it in the name of Jesus. If your soul needs healing, receive it in the name of Jesus. If you are not saved, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for your spiritual healing. If you do not know how to receive any of this, prayerfully this and future episodes will assist you in receiving what is already yours through what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did on the cross. So we're going to start with spirit healing here, spiritual healing scriptures in Jeremiah 17:14, which says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Proverbs 18:22 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" These three scriptures highlight the fact that our spirits need healing and salvation, as we read in Jeremiah 17:14. Both happen when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. At that point, your eternal spirit has been reborn. You are no longer under the curse. You have moved from death to life. Again, you did that through belief and confession of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your spirit was wounded because of the sin of Adam. His sin is our sin. We discussed this in episode 31 when we started the pride conversation. Romans 5:12 captures this verity. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So the cleansing in 1 John 1 and 9 is done in your spirit. Your soul and your body were not cleansed upon receiving Jesus Christ in the sense that both were reborn in the same manner as your spirit man. That cleansing, if you will, of the soul and body comes from the washing of the water of the word concerning the renewing of your mind to God's way of righteous living that will in turn provide the foundation for your thoughts and bodily actions. After we have confessed our sins, we must allow God to do what he said he would do through his son. This is a process that doesn't always fit our timetable. This is yet another place in our lives where humility is essential. When he tells you to forgive, you forgive. When he tells you not to yield to the works of the flesh that you used to yield to, you renew your mind to that truth. You must humbly receive his loving correction to change your mindset from flesh to spirit, regardless of how that correction comes to you. Proverbs 12:1 in the New Living Translation says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. These humble actions fortify your decision for Jesus Christ and aids in the continued process of the healing of your whole being, first in your spirit, then your soul and your body. Psalm 147:3 says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. These places of spiritual brokenness that you come to Jesus with already have a path for healing manifestation, so purposed by our sovereign God. We just have to yield to his plan without interference. Again, humility is the position here. As you have done and continue to engage in these willful acts concerning your spiritual healing, don't forget that you must keep guard over your spirit and the places where you have been healed. The people you associate with, the things you watch, read, or listen to can alter the areas in your spirit where you have been healed and give the enemy of your souls an opening in those spaces. Remember, Holy Spirit is the one that leads you to Jesus and thus spiritual healing. Just yield, TSV audience, and follow his direction. For our soul healing, I'm going to focus on a pair of scriptures that show us God's will for the healing of our souls. 3 John 1, 2 and 3. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Soul healing starts after spiritual healing with the washing of the water of the word, as I mentioned earlier, and continues with speaking and walking in the truth. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Our trust in the Lord, our faith in his faithfulness to fulfill what he promised in his word, keeps us in perfect peace. In this state, our minds, which is a part of our souls, will meditate on the promises of God. How do you build this faith? Jude 1, 20 through 21 helps us here. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Your most holy faith here is not just the act of belief in Jesus Christ, but the accumulation of what you believe in his word that tends to holiness. Look at this as a building block for your whole being, specifically your soul, that is only completed by love. Operating in the gift of praying in the Spirit, being a sign of a believer as detailed in Mark 16:17, also aids in soul healing as you are not praying potentially self-serving prayers, but uttering unknown tongues from Holy Spirit, praying the perfect will of the Father for your lives. This will then aid in the natural manifestation you seek in your body, pulling what is already yours through Christ from the spirit realm into the natural realm, which leads me to how I will conclude my answer. Our physical health is tethered to our thinking. So I'm shifting to the body here. So what should we be thinking, speaking, and doing? The word of God, the truth, as we read earlier in 3 John 1, 2, and 3. There are plenty of scriptures that tell us we are healed through what Jesus did on the cross. There are also scriptures that says we were healed, meaning you simply need to receive what has already been done for you by Jesus' stripes. The healing of our threefold being is a finished work. We are all familiar with 2 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus did this on the cross. He has taken all the stripes he will ever receive for our healing. Healing is ours through Christ. And then in Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. TSV audience, if Holy Spirit dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. That is right here in the natural realm. Glory be to God in Jesus' name. Faithful listeners to our show are also familiar with me saying that you are not the sick attempting to get well, but you are the healed keeping sickness and disease away from you. Your spiritual healing and mind renewal to the verity of God's word in this area provides the foundation for our bodies to operate continually in what our God says is already ours. Now, as you are going through this process of renewing your mind, you may need assistance in the fact that you haven't exercised your faith to the point you receive what he has promised directly. Scripture provides instruction for you in this space in James 5:14 through 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Notice healing and salvation being tethered again in verse 15. As we read earlier in Jeremiah 17:14, remember that you can receive the healing you already have directly from Jesus Christ. The woman with the issue of blood proved that. These two scriptures focus on the process for the prayer of agreement concerning anyone who is infirmed. The word of God says that healing is ours through Christ. Let's believe God's word and speak that verity, no matter the personal experience of the contrary.
Amen. I love how you say when you first started out that some people make the mistake of blaming God. And you can go back into the Garden of Eden, and when God was holding Adam accountable, what's the first thing he wants to do? Well, it's the woman you gave me.
Yeah, that's right.
So he was trying to blame God for his mistake. You see what I'm saying? So that's what kind of come to my mind when you were talking about that. But anyways, as always, I appreciate your insight. And I hope that our listeners will definitely ask God to give them understanding of what you share, because you're not sharing milk. This is meat and potato stuff. So hopefully people will be able to, you know, share that and receive that. And it's very, very thought-provoking, that's for sure, for people to really kind of think, oh, man, you know, I didn't see it that way, you know. Or other people might say, man, I've been saying that the whole time, you know. So, you know, you're going to get different versions of it. And I just hope that people, again, will be challenged. That's the most important thing. Get out of your comfort zone, because this is about you receiving healing in the name of Jesus at the end of the day.
Amen. Amen.
If you continue in a sickly state, this is the whole purpose of this podcast right here, because I'm tired of hearing people about COVID this. And again, this is what's prompted all this.
Yeah.
And, you know, along with the others' personal stuff that I'm going through, you know, on a personal level, you know, I'm just tired of people trying to, what you said, blame God. First and foremost, blaming God for something that has nothing to do with it. Just saying.
Amen.
Okay, this is not my time. I'm sorry, Brother Remy. I'm sorry, Brother Remy. Brother Remy's over there just patiently waiting, you know, which was a miracle in itself.
We ain't going to be telling my business, man. Come on, man.
Brother Remy, here's the question. What does the Word of God say about healing?
Thank you, my brother, for seeking the Holy Spirit to get a question that we can discuss and enlighten our audience through. And also your opening leading into the Reverend's response to your question. Following the Reverend is not usually easy, especially when he goes deep like that. So I'm going to focus on scripture. The question says, what does the Word of God say about healing? So what does the Word of God say? I might reference a couple of verses or passages that my brother has already touched on, but I'll start off with Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. And I think the Reverend already touched on this. Isaiah 53:5, he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Again, Psalms 147, verse 2. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. I think the Reverend touched on this as well. And then we have Exodus 15:26. For I am the Lord who heals. This is where we get the name Jehovah Rapha, that experience in the wilderness with the Israelites after they came out from Egypt. Then I want to come to Revelations, but I'll come back again to a particular verse to close it. But Revelations, we find Revelations 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer because the previous things have passed away. So in this passage of scripture that I've laid out, you see physical healing and also spiritual healing, and then that final ultimate healing when we all get to heaven and everything is now how God intended it to be. But I want to come back, like I said, I would, to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I decided to pick this out and spend maybe a minute or two on it because it ties into your opening about our current state, right, with COVID. Even within the body of Christ, it's becoming a polarizing topic. You know, the vaccinated against the unvaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, then or you are being disobedient and you are harming people and all of that stuff. But anyhow, let's come back to what we're talking about. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. The Reverend touched on humility a lot throughout his contribution to this. So we see there, right, that God is telling his people, which still runs true to in this current day, we are called by his name, right? Okay, that's check. Humble yourselves, which I said my brother has touched on, so I'll leave that, and pray. Now, how much of that is taking place? It's a trend that I've seen over the past couple of years living in America. So I don't really want to say the church. I'll maybe say maybe the Western church, where we have decided to hold man above God. For some time, the American church looked at an office as the only availability, the only way they can bring the kingdom of God down. Right. So we have allowed politics to polarize us. And then we now get into this space as well, where we have now allowed things that are happening in the world to, instead of us being proactive, we're being reactive. What does the Word of God say? It says to pray, to seek his face, to turn from our wicked ways. But no, We feel that we know better if we can do this, if we can do that. In all of this that's been going on, I've never seen where, well, we don't have unity, but any attempt to be like, let's call for prayer. Let's just focus on prayer. Even if it's not harmonious, even if it's not done in unity, if it's just different churches, just like, you know what? We want to call this a day of prayer. It doesn't have to be every denomination. We understand all of that. If you're not familiar with it, we have an episode where we spent time on that, talking about denominations. But if the body can just focus on what it was called to do, pray, seek the face of God, turn from our wicked ways. I don't think we've done that. And I took a little bit of time there to just expand on that verse because it ties into our current time and all that we're going through. But that's how I answer your question, my brother.
Amen. That's powerful. That is powerful. Humble yourself. And we're not doing that. I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, it is what it is. That's just the problem that's happening right now. Instead, you know, I think what you made me think of is this, because we don't really understand our enemies, who our enemy is. We don't understand our enemies. What's happened today is that the world is bombarding us with all of this stuff, all this information. And we're operating out of the information and not the revelation that God has given us. What I'm trying to share with you, you know, maybe that will help you to move past the fear, move past all these things that are preventing you from understanding what God's saying about healing in our life, or the life of other people that God puts in our path, that he is wanting us to help. That's what we're trying to do here. Let's get past this COVID stuff and then all this other stuff, because at this point in time, we're not stepping up to the plate here. And I like to use a scenario out of Job. That's what comes to my mind as well, and God put in my spirit. Let's use the 2021 version of Job right now. Okay. The enemy, Satan, has gone to God and said, man, look at your church down there. The only reason they're serving you is because you got them in air conditioning. They're off in this nice little building right here. They're all nice and comfortable. And, you know, they're driving around in a BMW. Oh, I'm not talking about you, Brother Wiley, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know, you could be driving around in a Lexus, or, you know, or it might be just like, you know, a regular old truck. But the enemy's accusing you, right? And God says, you know what? Have you considered my church right there in Houston, Texas? I tell you what. Go ahead and do what you're going to do, but you cannot take their life. Bam, here comes COVID. Bam, here comes the Delta variant. And what are we doing? What are we doing? A lot of us are having a lot of conversation, because that's how I break up Job. You have devastation, first two chapters. And then from chapter 3 all the way to 41, you have a lot of conversation. And then, of course, chapter 42, restoration. That's the way I break down the book of Job. Because in the end, what did God do? He restored. He couldn't restore the children because guess what? Well, that's another topic in itself. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying. God got me started up in here, man. So let's look at healing. I want to talk about, y'all have already covered Isaiah 53. Y'all have covered 3 John 2. Y'all have already talked about Proverbs 4:20, but let's talk about it, paraphrasing this in a whole different way that maybe it helps you to understand it a little bit better. You have different types of healing available to us. You got natural healing, where our immune system, which I don't know if you know or not, but did you know that you have viruses in your body naturally? Just a little FYI, because many people don't realize that. and that we've been around these viruses forever and a day, okay? Then you have assisted healing, right? Then you have inner healing. Then you have the miraculous healing. And then you've got the granddaddy of them all, which is when you go home to heaven in your glorified body, which, by the way, when I saw my wife, I thought she was in her glorified body already. Just saying. I am just saying. Anyways, let me stay on point. So you have all these things that are available for us. And, you know, without belaboring the point, I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, if a tiny virus can do this much damage, imagine what a mustard seed of faith can do. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And then Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Amen.
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 So let's move to the second question. And some of y'all kind of touched it here or there, but now we're going to dive into it better. The second question is this, and Brother Remy, you're going to be the first one to answer this. What prevents us from receiving this healing?
So what prevents us from receiving this healing? I'm going to touch on three reasons why a believer might not receive healing, or what prevents us from receiving healing, to stick to your question. The first one, unconfessed sin, right? We find that in James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The Reverend touched on this in his contribution to the previous segment. The urgent and fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much, right? So right there, we see where the Bible tells us that unconfessed sin is connected to the manifestation of healing. But I must be careful here, right? Because there is the notion, not all sick people are guilty of a sin. Like, oh, you're sick? Oh, yeah, you have sin that you're guilty of and you have to go. And this is how that is manifesting. Because we see that as well in John chapter 9 from the first verse, where we get to this place where Christ is now answering questions from his disciples. He says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Amen. So that is a way for us to see that, okay, even if unconfessed sin is one way that happens, that is not unilateral. That is not a one rule for all. Like, oh, you're sick, then you have sin somewhere in your life. Next, I'll go to lack of faith. And I'm coming out of Matthew chapter 9, starting from the 20th verse. Jesus raises a dead woman and heals a sick woman, right? So just to give context, let me start from the 18th verse. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up from behind, touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. Now, if we come down on that same chapter to the 29th verse, starting to give it in context, I'll start from the 27th. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Amen. And then to close out my response to your question here, I'll come out of John chapter 5, the sixth verse, because our perspective as well can also hinder us from receiving healing. And when I say our perspective can hinder us, we may not even ask for it. We may not even truly believe, right? So this is the scenario where we have this man that has been laying still for years by pool in Bethesda, right? And Jesus comes to him in this sixth verse of the fifth chapter of John. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" So here is why I picked this verse, right? Or this passage of scripture. Here is the guy's response in the seventh verse. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus didn't say, "What stops you from getting healed?" Or "When the water happens, what?" No, the question was, "Do you want to be made well?" That should easily be yes. Not excuses, not, "Well, you know, I'm in my 70s, you know, the way this COVID thing they have listed, you know, the chances." Do you want to be made well? I'm just sitting here wondering, any of our listeners, if Christ is asking you that question now, if your response would be all the excuses why. Do you want to be made well? It's a simple question. Don't try to think your way out. Don't try to make it logical. Yes, and just believe that. But that's how I answer your question, brother.
Amen. That's a great response, brother. You covered the different aspects that can happen, for sure, different scenarios. But the man that was by the pool, that one right there, it really makes me consider, why do we do that? God has said this, "Do you want to be healed?" Simple question. Well, you see, no. The question is, do you want to be healed? But unfortunately, we want to complicate things. We want to, you know, overthink it. We want to rationalize. We want to try to, I just can't seem to get over there because everyone is like, you know, stop. Stop and listen to what God is saying to you.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to get healed? Brother Wiley, what prevents us from receiving this healing?
Thank you, brother. Coupled with the answers and the commentary that's already been given by Arthur and Remy, I'm going to continue in the same space that I did in the first segment to bring some more context and more understanding in terms of what actually prevents us from receiving this healing. And part of that process you all have touched on, specifically yourself. And this is where a lot of believers differ in their understanding of Scripture. And Scripture says that we are healed, meaning continuously in present time. Scripture also says we were healed, meaning it is already done by the stripes of Jesus Christ on the cross. Both positions are ratified by the blood of Jesus. Adam's disobedience brought in sin and death, but Jesus Christ died and rose again, destroying the works of the devil. That being said, we still live in a sin-ridden world, and I know we've kind of touched on this a little bit. Sickness and disease are effects of sin, but not necessarily caused by the sin of the person affected. And Remy, you talked about that a little bit as well in your answer. None of these verities eliminate personal responsibility to believe what the Word of God says about healing. God has said we are healed through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, just as he has provided the path for salvation for all who call on the name of the Lord, through the finishing work his Son did on the cross. So the answer must be that you are the reason you haven't received your healing, just as you being the one who hasn't received the call of the Spirit to Jesus Christ. Remember 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is as plain as it can get. Holy Spirit, through Peter, said that he isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if it isn't God's will that any should perish without his son, then why do so many? Since God is in complete control, then why does his will not manifest concerning salvation for all? The answer to those questions are the same as why so many believers don't receive the healing they already have. They don't believe. Our personal responsibility plays a part in what we receive and don't receive. God being in complete control in this space means that he has given his creation the power to choose, even if that choice goes against his will. We see countless examples of this in Scripture. That is indicative of his sovereignty, and it is another show. This lack of receiving, however, doesn't mean they don't have faith. They just need to go to the Holy Spirit to show them how to use the measure of faith they were given by him to manifest what is theirs through Christ, thus removing any doubt of his promise. Again, this is going to be an issue for some, but you cannot go against the word of God in this or any matter. It is convenient for believers to say that it is God who keeps us from being healed or even keeps us sick. It is also heresy. It's an attempt to remove personal responsibility. Is it God who keeps us from receiving his son, Jesus Christ? Does he keep us from receiving his son while at the same time sending his spirit to draw all men unto him? Those questions sound like lunacy, but that is what some want us to believe concerning our healing. Not all will be healed, just like not all will be saved. That isn't because of God. It is because of the will of men who don't receive. Spirit, soul, and body healing is yours per Scripture. Jesus Christ did that on the cross. Now let me give you additional scriptures to back up what I just unpacked. And Brother Arthur, I've added a few questions here to amplify my answer and to stay in the same theme that I started in the first segment. So what prevents spiritual healing here? And it's not believing and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. That's the spirit healing that we're talking about. That's how you get healed in your spirit, the initial starting of that. Romans 10, 9 and 10 from the NIV says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Your eternal spirit cannot be healed, cannot be reconciled to God our Father without belief and confession of his son, Jesus Christ. Spiritual healing is the start of your whole being, being free from the shackles of the sin of doubt and unbelief, which hinders soul and natural healing. And I'm staying in Scripture here as I continue in my answer. What prevents our soul healing? Not renewing your mind to think what God has said in his word. We touched on Proverbs 4, but I want to reiterate this a little bit more. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all of their flesh. Again, personal responsibility. During my time on the mic for this episode, I have continuously tethered soul healing with bodily healing through Scripture. These three verses continue in that same vein. We must adhere to the whole counsel of God in this area. It will change our thinking and manifest healing in our bodies. And then lastly, what prevents bodily healing? Now, for me, this is the simplest part because the body is a servant. It operates according to what it has been directed to by your reborn or unreborn spirit and renewed or unrenewed soul, affecting your mind, will, and emotions. Doubt and unbelief in the promise of bodily healing prevents it from manifesting in the natural. We have discussed several scriptures concerning the fact that your body is healed. Do you believe that? That will continue to be a common refrain from my answers. Do you believe what the word of God says concerning your body being healed? Do you believe it? It was a question that Jesus asked. He was looking for a specific answer. Do you believe? Scriptures for this in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Were healed. TSV audience, do you believe that? COVID doesn't change that. We're healed. Nothing that comes into this natural realm changes that. You're healed. Walk in that. Matthew 8:16-17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. It's already been done. This is a finished work, TSV audience. As I finish my answer, Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses in his body. He doesn't want any to perish and wishes above all things that we prosper and are in health, even as our souls prosper. That is his will for our lives. That sickness, that infirmity that is on your body isn't yours. The mental challenges you are experiencing aren't yours. It's demonic influence to keep you from fulfilling your purpose. Do you believe that? Have you renewed your mind to that verity? Our loving prayer is that this episode is received with an open heart so that the areas of your whole being that need to be healed will be, in Jesus' name.
Amen, brother. I need for you guys to kind of don't mute your mics here, because I want to put it in a bullet point, because it's very important for our listeners to understand, okay, where are they at in this criteria, if you will? Is it a matter of like what Brother Remy emphasized? He was talking about, do you believe, right? And that's something of what you also, you were emphasizing that too, Brother Wiley, about, you talked about personal responsibility, which is sin in our life. That's possibly what's hindering us, because that stops us from receiving the healing. You see what I'm saying? So my point that I'm trying to get to is that we fail to realize the supernatural trumps the natural.
Yes.
We keep continuing in that space. Like somebody says, man, I'm under so much stress and so much. I love what Pastor Tony Evans said. Well, get out from under it. Get out from under it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to receive healing or not? Mm-hmm. It's done. Like Brother Wiley said, look, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, you're going to continue in the realm and space that you're in right now. Mm-hmm. It is not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, God is not Santa Claus.
Mm.
He's not going to give you something just because you asked for it and you have no relationship with him. None whatsoever. Not even that mustard seed of faith. We got to look at this too. What prevents us from receiving this healing? You know, Jesus is the name above every name. And I believe I did share this in the first podcast where we kind of touched on this. Stress, anxiety, sickness, COVID, cancer, whatever name you want to come up with. Jesus is the name above every name. So it doesn't have dominion over your life. And then we also have those instances where perhaps, let's think about, look at Job for a second. And, you know, because not everything can be explained. That's the one thing about God. We can't put him in a box. And if we had all the answers, you know, I mean, it just doesn't work that way. Then we don't need God. You see what I'm saying? So, but let's look at the situation with Job for a second. Everyone says it's about Job having faith in God. And I've always, and when I preached on this particular book of Job before, I say it this way. Can God have faith in you with the sickness that was given to you? Can God have faith in you about this? You see what I'm saying? Can you accept that challenge and continue to serve him and praise him no matter what? Look at Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the Hebrew boy said what? my God will deliver me. And then what else did they say? But even if he don't, I am not going to bow down. So that's what Wiley, I guess people have to understand. Brother Wiley is trying to tell you, if you're going to take a position, then your position needs to be, I'm going to stand on God's word, end of story, period, exclamation mark, highlight, and there is no other position to take. You see what I'm saying? And any other position, you put yourself at risk of not being able to receive these things God has for you. It's really that simple. You see what I'm saying? I'm just paraphrasing what he said, because I know you need the thesaurus when he talks sometimes, but it's okay. You know, we're going to elevate even your vocabulary here in the spoken verity. I'm just saying. Sometimes I really have to draw on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what did he just say? So at the end of the day, you have to examine yourself of where you're at. You know, we don't know. Wiley, Remy, and myself, we don't know what your situation is. Is there sin? Well, deal with it. Repent. That's what you need to do. Let's give you the answer then. Repent. Okay? So you can move on into the next, move from glory to glory. That's the only way you're going to do that. If your faith is not strong enough for whatever reason, hey, you just got to believe. Trust God. Huh? And then maybe it's that situation where God's trusting you with a situation, and he needs you to be the person that's going to be a light and salt, because people are going to look at you and say, man, look at that, man. He done lost his job. He's been so sick, you know, but yet he continues to serve God. He continues to, you know, I don't know if y'all heard in the last message, we have a modern day Job here, and that's Brother Remy, you know, who has lost a child, and I never saw him waver. Never saw him waver in his faith.
Amen.
So, man, this is what has to happen. So let's try to bring it home a little bit better now and go into maybe the real time, you know, personal experiences. And that's my next question. Brother Wiley, can you share times you may have experienced one of the categorized healings from natural to supernatural healing as God gave to you to share today with our listeners?
Thank you, brother. I can recall several experiences of healing taking place in my natural body, but I want to focus on one as it relates to what I have shared today. When I was a young boy, I developed huge water blisters all over my body, literally from my head to my toes. I don't know where they came from, but it was an immediate thing. I went to bed without them and woke up with them. When this occurred, I went to my mother concerning this, and she prayed over me and anointed me. Her faith and the faith of my father, coupled with my young faith, brought the manifestation of what Jesus did for me on the cross into my body the very next morning. The same way it appeared in my body when I woke up was the same way it disappeared when I woke up the next day. The prayer of faith, as detailed in James 5:15, that was prayed over me by my parents, along with my belief in his written word, manifested what was already mine through Christ. This personal experience left an indelible mark in my life, as it helped build a healing conviction in my heart to not allow anything to curtail my faith in the one who saved my soul and healed my body. Now, let me close my answer by simply stating that as I continue to walk this walk with my Lord and Savior, being led by the Spirit, I am reminded of the fact that we all have a choice to make concerning our belief in the finishing work of the cross, specifically concerning our whole being healing. Within Joshua 24:15, a directive was given by Holy Spirit through Joshua to the children of Israel. We have the same directive today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose Jesus Christ, TSB audience. Choose to receive all that he has given you through his death, burial, and resurrection. Choose to walk in the truth that you are healed in Jesus' name. This choosing is very important. We need to make sure that we understand that this personal responsibility to choose and to walk in what Jesus Christ did for us is the only way we are going to see what he has promised us in his word. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Brother Remy?
Yeah, experienced healing. So based on all that we've been talking about, I'll say I've experienced spiritual healing because Jesus is my Lord and Savior, right? My soul is healed, as my brother eloquently laid that out. So that's that part there. Naturally, I haven't had an illness, but there is healing in that as well, right? In the sense that me staying healthy is the manifestation of his healing power, right? And I am really grateful for that. And you touched on a personal experience that my wife and I just had, and our family, and it's fresh because of our current time. But even in that, there is healing, which is that ultimate healing that happened for our daughter, right? So that's the way we decided to look at it, because there is also that ultimate healing which you talked about, which is when we go back home to the Lord, which she did. So I answer your question by saying, spiritually, Jesus died for me. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I am healed. Physically, I am healed in the sense that there's not been any manifestation of any illness. And also, with my experience with Ariella, she was healed, going back to Alfred. But that's how I answer your question.
Thank you, brother. Now, in terms of healing, wow. I mean, the work that God has done in my life to make me the new creation in Christ that I am today, I mean, to transform me from where I was to where I am today is a testament of God's unconditional love, his grace, and his mercy in my life. Unfortunately, one of the areas that the enemy continues to attack me is through my health. I have had to go through different instances, from cancer to even currently, I've had to go to the emergency room because I got so sick, I couldn't even walk, you know, and I don't like doctors. I don't like going to, and I try not to. And the amazing thing is that they were saying that I had stuff in my lungs. Went back to the doctor, but let me pause. Before I went to that doctor, I went to God. I said, Lord, they're trying to tell me that there's this stuff in my lungs and I feel pain. It hurts, but I don't want to receive this. You know, I'm not trying to receive this, you know? And so when I went back, my lungs are clear. I actually just got that report 2 days ago.
Amen. Amen.
So it's like, again, well, they don't know why, and they can't explain it, and perhaps this, and perhaps that. And I'm like, no. The enemy's a liar. You know?
Come on, yes, yes.
And so whose report are we going to believe?
Ooh, yes.
But my wife, being a prayer warrior, and she goes, I tell you, you know, and I think about COVID. Now, let me show you a different perspective of COVID. Mm. When I got sick, I couldn't break the fever. As you guys, I remember sharing with y'all, I think it was up to 2 weeks that I had this fever. It would not break. I was right there at that point where I was saying, well, maybe I need to go to the hospital, you know? But my wife continued to pray over me. And so eventually the fever broke. And then I started to get better. You know, I never went to the hospital. I just continued to ask God to heal me. And I'm going to tell you what I believe caused me to be more sick. Mm. That was because I shifted my eyes from God's word to the reports I was hearing from CNN and Fox News, and how they were putting it out there. The death toll is rising. The death of this, and we have all these numbers, and people are dying. Hospitals are this, and how? And so I was allowing that to be my truth. And I mean, I went as far as contacting an attorney to make sure I had all my affairs in order.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? I look back in hindsight and I see that I myself struggled there in the sense of, you know, allowing what the world was telling me as opposed to allowing what God is telling me. And then I keep seeing that over and over. So, yeah, I mean, so now we've gotten to the point where, I mean, of course, you got to have common sense. That's not, you know, we do have a personal responsibility to take. And as God gives that to you, then so be it, you know? And I think we just got to continue to ask God to transform and renew our minds, you know? And I'm assuming that we have a relationship with the Lord, okay?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that. And at the end of the day, God does not want us. We cannot blame God. Let's be clear about that. There is no blaming God. There is no putting it at his feet. The only way you put it at his feet is this. You say, God, I give this to you, and it's no longer mine. The same way that you repent and you put that sin at the foot of the cross, amen? Don't struggle and play tug of war with it. Don't play tug of war. You either give it to God or don't.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Are there any closing comments by you brothers before we sign off?
Yeah, I just want to amplify something that you said in this last segment and thank you for your transparency and allowing our audience to see the manifestation and to hear the manifestation of an infirmed body coming back to the state in which our God intends, which is healing. It's a blessing to hear that. I'm glad and overjoyed actually to hear that just because I remember some of the things that you shared, and I'm pretty sure that you shared what you felt was necessary for us to know about, and to hear the manifestation, the result of you standing on your faith, coupled with your wife in the prayer of agreement that we all talked about, I guess, in this episode, was extremely important. And now we hear it and we can get that and our audience can hear it. And it's a blessing. So thank you for sharing that, brother. The last part that I want to add here before we close specifically, that God is not the author of sickness and disease. And I know we've talked about this, but I want to reiterate that. God does not give us sickness and disease. Now, in the Old Testament, that was a part of judgment that God would use in terms of sickness and disease based upon disobedience, things of that nature. But after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that no longer occurs. And so we need to make sure that we understand that God is not the author of what we are seeing here. We are in a sin-fallen world. Adam did that, and that sin spread through all the earth. And right now, that's what we're dealing with. That's what's happening in this natural realm. And so I want to make sure that our audience understands that God is not the author of sickness and disease. He delivered us through Jesus Christ from it. So that's my contribution. And that's how I close this out.
Brother Raymond?
No, I'm good, brother.
You're good? Yeah, I want to close out by just saying that I try to be as transparent as possible because I don't have all the answers. And I'm just like you, TSV listeners. I'm just trying to walk out and live by faith and live a repentant lifestyle. That's how I describe it, because I know that any other way, I would not be living the life I live today were it not for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Amen. So, with that said, I just hope that there was something said today from one of us that will, again, have been a revelation to you and will have enlightened your heart, would hopefully encourage you, and above all else, that it will empower you to serve the Lord and further his kingdom and purposes. And if that happens, then praise God. I can't ask for anything more. And so, As we come to a close, I want to give Brother Remy an opportunity to give us a sneak peek at episode 33.
Thank you, my brother. Episode 33 of your favorite podcast, we will be discussing the devotional life of a Christian, looking at what that looks like.
So let's close out in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this podcast 32. We pray, Lord God, that it will glorify your name and that you get the glory and you alone. Thank you for using us as vessels of honor and instruments of righteousness. Father, we just pray that this will bless many, many people. And above all else, you are worthy to be praised.
Yes.
And we can trust in you, Father. We can believe in you. And you can trust us, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't believed and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth, that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.